Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
I think. Is there still an F?
Good afternoon in Africa, in Europe, and good morning in North America, and good evening in the Pacific world. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. February the 18th, 2012. It's amazing how the year is flying and time is going. We do thank you for joining us today and for choosing to spend this weekend with us. We have a great discussion and show lined up for you today. We will be speaking to Mr. Simon Kabanda, the Executive Secretary for Citizen Forum. He's also the spokesperson for the committee on the Technical Committee on the Constitution. And later on our district on business forum, we'll be going, I believe, to Chavuma District as we continue on our roundup on districts. And, of course, Zambia has been celebrating the Chipolopolo win. We can't run away or avoid that. At 1800 hours Zambian time, 11 Eastern, we'll be talking to one of the champions, Kennedy Mwene, the goalkeeper. He did a tremendous job. And Anakazi will be discussing fashion. That's our show today. And let me welcome our guest, Mr. Kabanda. Like I've said, he's the Executive Secretary for Citizen Forum. He's also the spokesperson for the Committee on the Technical, on the Constitution. Mr. Kabanda, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me to participate on this program.
Yes, sir, we are very delighted that you agreed and chose to spend time with us. I know everybody wants us to get straight into the Constitution, but I think we also need to talk about the Citizen Forum. It's important. There is somebody listening to us out there, and they are like, I've never heard of the Citizen Forum. What is it about? Could you please enlighten us on that?
Okay, thank you very much. But before I go into that, I wish to begin by congratulating our Chipolopolo boys for winning the AFCON 2012. And I wish to state that, in fact, this win has done something to me. I've not been a soccer fan, but only a regular soccer fan. Get interested when there is an Africa Cup or World Cup. But because of this win by the Chipolopolo boys, I've now become a soccer fan. FA Cup, Chelsea, and Birmingham City. Yeah, so this is what this has done to me. And I think a lot it has done to a lot more other Zambians. Now, coming to the Citizens Forum, it is basically a non-governmental organization that was formed in 2004 as a platform to facilitate citizens' participation in governance and governance at various levels, particularly beginning from the local level, then coming to the national level. And people become members of the Citizens Forum in their individual capacity. And they meet in small groups which are called cells. And they meet in places where they are found most, places of work, marketplaces, in the neighborhood. We borrowed the idea from the small Christian communities of the Catholic Church. So that is the idea that is behind that. So people meet and discuss issues affecting them, the problems affecting them, and then together try to find solutions to their problems. But then, if it is a problem of a national character, then the National Management Committee of the Citizens Forum takes it up at national level and engages policymakers. And I wish to state that through this process, we've managed to influence policy about the employment of graduate teachers, which had been stopped by government. But because of the debate that was started in 2004 by a group of the Citizens Forum members, every year when the minister is announcing the national budget, there is a budget line for employing new teachers. That was as a result of what Citizens Forum actually did in 2004-2005. So the structure is that in every district, we are supposed to be in all the districts, and in districts where we are, every district has what is called a district chapter. All the cells in a particular district form what is called a district chapter. And then at national level, we have what is called the National Management Committee. And this is an elected body which is elected every 3 years. In other organizations, it's called the board, but we call it the National Management Committee. Yeah.
Good, Mr. Kavanda. I think that's very good information because most of the NGOs or non-government organizations, as you might be aware, in Zambia normally is just structured around a few individuals, if not one. I'm glad to hear that. Could you give us the structure of the national executive of the national committee or leadership, as you have pointed
management
out?
Committee.
Yes, sir. The management committee. How is it structured?
So the National Management Committee comprises the chairperson, who is the over elected for a period of 3 years, and then there is the treasurer, and then the executive secretary of the Citizens Forum is the secretary of the National Management Committee, and then there are other four management committee members. Now, the way it is formed on the basis of the subcommittee that the Citizens Forum has. There are thematic areas, okay? There is an anti-corruption, that is one thematic area, and then another thematic area is constitutionalism, another thematic area is gender, and then another thematic area in good governance. So these are the four thematic areas that we are operating in currently. But with time, because of the issues that they come from the cells, the thematic areas actually develop as a result of what is coming from the cells, the issues that we are addressing.
Absolutely. Mr. Kavanda, talk about some of the activities the forum is involved in. I found one of the papers that you wrote entitled "The Practice of Civic-Driven Change," and in this document you address a campaign against the sale of Konkola mines, payment of mid-term gratuity to members of parliament, and the related issues. Could you please talk about that?
Oh, yes. The Citizens Forum has been involved in various campaigns from the time it was formed. At the time it was being formed, in 2004, was a move by government to sell Konkola copper mine, the privatization program. But then the price was in fact too much below the expected selling price. In fact, after it was sold, the government did not listen to our plea not to sell Konkola copper mine to Vedanta. Government went ahead and sold to Vedanta Stelite. And in fact, what happened was that within one quarter, Vedanta Stelite was able to recoup what they had pumped in after as the buying price for the mine. So we had mounted a campaign against the sale of Konkola copper mine, but I would say we are not successful because the government was not listening. The issue of mid-term gratuity was another area of concern, where members of parliament in 2004 and in 2009, they decided to give themselves mid-term gratuity. Because we elect the members of parliament for a period of 5 years, but they said after working for 2.5 years, they needed to get mid-term gratuity. Now, this was unconstitutional, one. The second was that the amount of money involved was just too much. It was at a time when government was not employing teachers. That was, for example, in 2004. But then, when we analyzed how much each member of parliament was to get as mid-term gratuity, each MP actually got what would have been the salary of 399 teachers a month. So when we calculated what everybody got, all the MPs, that money would have paid over 6,000 teachers for the whole year. So we thought that was very immoral and unjustified. So we campaigned against that. But even on that one, they were not successful. They went ahead and paid out the mid-term gratuity. But even during campaigns where we have not been successful, there is one success that we have scored, and that is to create a critical mass around the issue. Because of the debate, people become critical over issues. Now, issues of mid-term gratuity, issues of privatization, and all that, all these topical issues now in the country, and people talk about them. And in fact, you know, currently, there is a probe in the sale of the Uganda National Commercial Bank. In fact, before it was told, one of our members even took the issue to court for judicial review, you know, in the sale of the National Commercial Bank. We, as an organization, we were opposed to the sale. And now, even if we were not successful at that time, now we have been proved right that we were right to oppose the sale of Uganda National Commercial Bank, because what has been found is that it was actually grossly undervalued. Yeah. So these are some of and now the main area of activity and concern by the Citizens Forum from inception has been the People's Constitution campaign. We have been involved in this campaign from the time the Citizens Forum was formed in 2004, and that was the time when the Mungomba Constitution Review Commission was doing its work. And last year, we managed to block government from taking a bad document, passing a bad document as the Constitution for Zambia. That was in March. Because of our vigorous campaign against the product of the National Constitution Conference, we picketed Parliament, and the following week, the bill that was before Parliament was actually shut down. It failed to go through. That was as a result of the efforts of the Citizens Forum and other organizations such as the Get Involved Zambia and the Civil Society for Poverty Reduction. We championed the campaign against the product of the National Constitution Conference, and we succeeded. And this is why today we now have a committee to facilitate the conclusion of the constitution-making process. because the last processes have been failing.
Mr. Kabanda,
so these are some of the activities that we are involved in.
Let's zero in on this, on the issue of two issues here. One of them you've mentioned. Our governments don't seem to listen, if I may use that term. Okay, you see our past presidents just making unilateral decisions. One of the issues I also want you to address is public resources, by wastage of public resources by political leaders. How do we get involved in making our leaders accountable? And, you know, they can't just be spending at will. This is taxpayers' money, Bakabanda.
Yeah. In fact, we have learned or come to realize that there has been lavish spending of the national resources. There hasn't been prudent management of the country's resources. And in fact, the conclusion we have come to is that we are not a poor country per se. We do have resources. If they were just properly managed, Zambia would not be where it is now economically. So we mounted a campaign beginning in 2008, which we were calling prudent management of the resources of the country, where we introduced debt in the nation as the citizens forum. And in fact, as a result of that debate, when in 2008 Parliament wanted to increase the salaries for the president and allowances for the president, vice president, and ministers, and all the members of Parliament, there was a vigorous campaign against that. In fact, it went to the extent of where during the by-election of 2008, the presidential by-election of 2008, the Citizens Forum made that as a campaign issue and asked the presidential candidates to commit themselves that they were not going to sign for the increment of those salaries and allowances. In fact, the one who won as president, Rupia Banda, who was vice president that time, he actually promised that he was not going to. What he said was that he had listened to the people, concerned over this issue, and therefore he was going to send the issue back to Parliament. That's what he had promised. But immediately, when he was elected, he signed the deal into law, and the members of Parliament, ministers, presidents, vice presidents, got a rise in salaries and allowances. And although the increment was approved in November 2008, they updated to January, so they got plenty of money. Apart from that, we have noticed that whenever government is taking big projects, they overprice. For example, the road construction of buildings, schools, or hospitals, various infrastructure. They in fact inflate the figures, you know. Those who are involved, they even get kickback from those projects. And in fact, lately now, many of them are going to face the law because they are being identified as having been involved in such corrupt practices. The new government has seriously embarked on this fight against corruption and is bringing a lot of people to book because of that.
Good. We are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're speaking to Mr. Simon Kabanda, Executive Secretary for Citizens Forum. He's also the spokesperson for the Constitution Technical Committee. Before I allow my colleagues to ask a few questions on the operations or anything relating to Citizens Forum, and then we'll switch to the Constitution, let's talk about social contracts campaign, Mr. Kabanda. You, in this paper, you talk about the fact that the MPs and everybody who is Zambian knows this. our MPs or even presidential candidates make promises, and in your document you have rightly said some members of parliament don't even go back to their constituencies until it's again election time. How are you engaging the citizens, and how should we address this as citizens of Zambia?
Yes, during the run-up to the 2006 election, as we were inciting people and encouraging them to participate in voting, and that they should be voting on the basis of issues. We had an issue-based elections campaign in 2006. One of the things that came out was that even if these politicians promise, you know, during the campaign, they actually do not fulfill that. So many people felt it was not even necessary for them to participate in voting. So as we start to reflect on those experiences, we sort of coming up with something that could assure the electorate that once they vote for somebody, there are chances that that person is going to fulfill the promises, or at least they are going to hold him or her accountable. That was how the idea of the social contract was introduced. So we introduced the social contract during the 2006 election, and we distributed social contract form to various parts of the country, you know, through the chiefs, especially through the traditional leaders. Now, unfortunately, at the time we introduced it, it wasn't appreciated much by many people. First of all, the politicians were against it, and for the electorate, only a few appreciated it. And as a result, not many people actually signed the social contract in 2006. And in fact, for the MMD, the president of the MMD just issued the directive that no MMD should sign the social contract that has been introduced by the Citizens Forum. So we did not get any member from the MMD signing the social contract, although they are the ones that won the election. So it was difficult to hold accountable those people who did not sign social contract. But during that election, the electorate have managed to make candidates sign social contracts. And on the basis of that, they make them accountable, because they easily remind them, invite them, or call them, or they go to the media to complain that this is what this person promised, and this is the social contract that was signed, and yet we are not doing anything. So in that way, when people go public, the leaders get embarrassed. And because they get embarrassed, they are forced to do one or two things in order for them to avoid being embarrassed further. So the idea of the social contract, it's gaining momentum actually. Many people have now appreciated it. Because during the 2011 election, it was not in fact the Citizens Forum that was talking about the social contract. It were the people themselves, the electorates themselves, who were talking about the social contract and saying the candidates should sign social contracts with the electorate. So it is now a popular concept in Zambia. I can say it has gained ground. What is remaining is now to ensure that when we have elections, the candidates feel compelled to sign it. Because now, although it is an issue now, a public issue now in the country, the candidates do not feel compelled. So we hope by the time we are getting to the next election, we shall have structures that will ensure that the electorate, I mean the candidates, are compelled to sign the social contract. So we are working around how best we can manage this process.
I like that idea of social contract, Bakabanda. I think we need to pursue it, and this forum would be delighted to work with Citizens Forum on that matter. Let me allow my colleagues to ask a few questions before we move to the the person who indicated that they want to ask a question have dropped off. If you want to ask Mr. Kabanda a question, please press 1 on your keypad and we shall be able to let you ask a question on issues to do on issues to do with what we are discussing here. Let's switch gears here, Mr. Kabanda, and go to the Constitution Technical Committee. What is the mandate of this committee? How is it different from other Constitution Review Commissions?
Okay. Thank you very much. Before we go to that, let me just kind of say something about the Citizens Forum and what we are expecting from our comrades in the diaspora.
Good.
Whatever part of the world you are, we want to arrive at a situation where we shall have Citizens Forum chapters in different parts of the world where our friends, our comrades are. So if you are listening, you have heard about the Citizens Forum, what it is, we would appreciate that you join, you form a chapter in whatever country you are so that you could be meeting at Citizens Forum. And you can actually send us an email so that we can send you the application form by email. And the email is shimwenya@yahoo.com. That is my email address. That is shimwenya@yahoo.com. Shimwenya is the father to Mwenya. shimwenya@yahoo.com. For the Citizens Forum, you can send to Forum for Citizens as one word in lower text. forumforcitizens@yahoo.com, so that you send us an email so that we can actually forward to you the membership application form so that we can have Citizens Forum chapters in different parts of the world. Now, coming to the Technical Committee on Drafting the Zambian Constitution, that is the correct name, the full name, Technical Committee on Drafting the Zambian Constitution. It was constituted by the president in November. We were appointed on 16th November last year, and we started meeting on 5th December, the day we were sworn in. Our mandate is to come up with a constitution for Zambia, just like the name says. It is a technical committee that is tasked to draft the constitution for Zambia. Now, In drafting this constitution for Zambia, we are not starting afresh. So this is one difference between ourselves and other processes that have been starting afresh. We are not starting afresh. We are not going around the country to ask people what they want to be in the new constitution. This information is contained in various documents, in various reports of the Constitution Review Commission or other reform processes that have taken place. So we are using the Muwumba draft constitution and report as the basis for us to draft a new constitution for Zambia. Now, using Muwumba as a basis, we are also referring to other reports and draft constitution. We are referring to the Muwumba of 1990-91, Muwumba PRC, the Mwanakato CRC of 1993 to 1995. We are also referring to the report of the Electoral Reform Technical Committee of 2005, and also the report of the National Constitution Conference and the Just Constitution of 2010. So we are using all these documents for us to be able to come up with one document. One document, a draft constitution. And in doing that, as I said, we are not going out to ask the people, but the process is people-driven, or is going to be people-driven, in that when we complete the first draft, okay, when we complete the first draft, we have started working at it. When we complete the first draft, we are going to distribute it throughout the country. We shall distribute it throughout the country for people to look at it and debate at community level in all the districts. We shall invite comments from people on the first draft constitution. So now those comments that we shall invite, we shall get from people, we shall collect them in a formal way. We shall collect them in a formal way by having provincial constitution conferences, convention. In all the provinces, we are going to have one provincial constitution convention. And representation will come from all the districts in a particular province. And delegates will come from districts. They will come with the comments that will have come from the community debate over the first draft constitution. Now, once we have the provincial constitution convention, 10 of them, we are also going to have then what we are calling sector group constitution convention. So the sector groups are the churches, NGOs, and various other stakeholders and institutions who will also gather in Lusaka in order to comment on the first draft. Okay, to gather the comments that will have come from the people, from their members, from their constituencies. So all these comments will be brought together. After we get the comments from the provincial constitution convention and the sector group's constitution convention, we shall then come up with a second draft constitution. Now, the second draft constitution will be then subjected to a national constitution convention. So at the national constitution convention, the delegates will be the leaders of the provincial convention. So those leaders, chairpersons and their secretaries, will gather now at national level to look at the second draft, in order for them to see whether we have actually captured what people brought from the various districts as the comments on the first draft. So the National Constitution Convention will be looking and making comments at the first on the second draft. Sorry. Now, after the National Constitution Convention, we are then going to have to produce the final draft constitution. So this final draft which we shall produce is the one that is going to be used in a referendum. Okay? There will be a referendum for people to approve the entire constitution. Now, in terms of getting comments on the first draft, we are not limiting it only to the provinces or the districts. We have identified a number of experts on constitutional law and practice, many of them Zambians, but they are working in different parts of the world. They have been involved in constitution making processes in different parts of the world. So we have identified these Zambians and other experts who are not Zambians, only a few of them. We shall send the first draft to them as well. The first draft constitution, it will go to them so that they make comments. And that's the time we shall be producing the second draft constitution after the convention. By then we shall have received the comments from these experts who are local as well as international. We shall have received these comments. Also, those of you who are listening to this program in different parts of the world, we shall collect comments from you as well. What we shall do, we shall post the first draft constitution on the website. Okay, the website is being developed now. I can give you the URL now because it's just been developed. As soon as it is developed, we shall announce that and we shall post the first draft on our website, and we shall expect to receive comments from you people, our friends, our comrades in the diaspora. And so that by the time we are having this convention, we shall be able to say, our friends in the diaspora, these are the comments that they have made, so that we can incorporate those issues in the second draft and eventually in the final draft constitution, which will go to a referendum. And all this I've talked about, all these processes should be done by October this year. Because our mandate runs from November last year to October this year. That's where our mandate is. Okay, 12 months, we're given a period of 12 months. And within 12 months, we shall make sure that we finish all these processes so that the people can have a referendum to approve the constitution, so that Parliament can now pass the constitution and act, the Constitution of Zambia Act, and then we shall have a new constitution. So we shall have a new constitution for Zambia within 2012. In fact, one other product we shall develop ourselves is what is called the Constitution of Zambia Bill 2012. This is the bill that Parliament is going to use to give effect to the product of the referendum. So this bill is going to be developed by the Technical Committee on Drafting the Zambian Constitution.
That's a whole bunch of information, Mr. Kabanda. Let me take you back a little bit. My colleagues here are with me. I'm waiting, the UK, Henry, Titus, everybody is listening. We need to engage Mr. Kabanda here and wait. You heard the comprehensive explanation he has given here. Let me take you back on this one, step by step, Kabanda. How does one participate in the provincial convention? Let's start from there.
Okay. We are going to develop guidelines for that. We have not yet developed the guidelines on how people participate in the convention. We shall develop the guidelines after producing the first draft. You know, when we produce the first draft, we shall distribute it. As people will be debating in the districts at community level, that's when we shall sit down to develop the guidelines, which will spell out the process of participation in the constitution in the provincial convention. So that will come. But then, next week, we are meeting with various stakeholders, so that we can discuss, that we can also make an input on how to disseminate this first draft, and also make suggestions on how the provincial convention should be conducted and how the participation should be. So we want to get these ideas from the people themselves, the various stakeholders, NGOs, churches, political parties, who will meet with us, trade unions also, and we shall discuss, so that they give us ideas on how best they think this process should be. So that will come. And immediately come up with a guideline, we are going to publicize them on the website and in various media also.
Okay. The other thing the next step I want us to discuss, Mr. Kabanda, is what is the composition of this committee and what's the total number of, I don't know whether they are calling them commissioners or how do they refer to the members of this committee?
Our committee, the technical committee?
Yes. What is the composition?
The technical committee on drafting the Zambian constitution, we have 17 members.
17. Mm-hmm.
Who are drawn from various sectors. We have representation from the churches. We have representation from the traditional authorities. We have representation from civil society organizations. We have representation from the legal fraternity. Okay? And we also have those who chaired the past processes, you know, like the electoral reform technical committee. The chairperson was Madame Mangala Zalumi. She's part of the committee. The Mungomba Constitutional Review Commission was chaired by Mr. Mungomba. He's part of the committee. The Mvunga CRRC was chaired by Professor Mbunga, who is also part of the committee. The chairperson of this committee, the technical committee, is the first Zambian Chief Justice. Chief Justice Anuel Silungo. He was the first Zambian Chief Justice after independence. So he is the chairperson of the technical committee. And may I state that the technical committee has been constituted under the Ministry of Justice. Okay? So we are working under the Ministry of Justice. And all the logistical support, administrative support, and all that under the Ministry of Justice. Although we have a secretariat outside, away from the building of the Ministry of Justice, we have the secretariat elsewhere at the government complex, but we are constituted under the Ministry of Justice. And, you know, government, through the Ministry of Justice, prepares legislation, okay? So basically what our committee is doing is preparing this legislation on behalf of government, the legislation that is going to be used by Parliament to pass the constitution for Zambia. So we are a preparatory committee, basically. So what we are doing...
How was the issue of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia resolved? There was that complaint that they were not engaged and they were not involved in the process. Could you share with us how that issue was resolved?
Okay. Yeah. The representation, like, for example, the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia were not... there was no representation that comes from the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia. And up to now, there is no one who came from the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia. Okay? But then there was also three positions that were given to the Catholic bishops. Okay? But the Catholic bishops have also not taken up those three positions. So we do not have any Catholic bishop sitting on the technical committee. But the Catholic Church has sent only one priest. There is a priest who was involved during the Manakato Constitution Review Commission. He was a commissioner. So because of that experience, so the Catholic Church thought of forwarding his name to the committee. Now, in terms of this committee not being representative, this technical committee, that has been the concern of a number of people, not only the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, various other stakeholders, trade unions, civil society organizations, the women's movement, and various other, the disabled, and many other complaints or raised concerns that this committee is not representative. And the concerns were understandable because we are coming from a certain background where commissions were appointed to undertake an exercise or the National Constitution Conference. Now, people are looking at our committee as something similar to a Constitution Review Commission or a National Constitution Conference, where representation is very, very critical. And the reason for representation is that certain issues may be overlooked if certain people are not involved in the process. Certain issues may be overlooked. That's why representation is important, that we look at various sectors of society. But this committee is not about adopting, for example, the constitution. We are basically looking at the documents. We have volumes of documents that we are reading and developing a draft constitution. Now, where the presentation is critical is during the provincial constitution convention and during the sector group's constitution convention. This is where representation of various stakeholders is critical. This is where people should be able to say, oh, we are left out, or this group has been left out, or this other group has been left out. So we shall ensure that at the stage where people will be making comments to the first draft constitution, representation will be as wide as possible.
Okay. Let me check with my colleagues here if they have any comments to make. Mweti, good afternoon. Dr. Musanje.
Hi, Nathan. I just had a question or a comment. What is his name?
Kabanda, introduce yourself, Dr. Musanje, and where you're calling from.
Oh, my name is Dr. Elliot Musanje, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia in the United States. I've been listening to Mr. Kabanda talking about what they are doing in the constitutional review. So I just wanted to bring up the situation that I'm going to talk to the about the history of Zambia. Zambia's politics came from a one-party state. You know, in the Kaunda days, we all got used to Kaunda making decisions for everybody in Zambia. And we later realized in 1991, we realized that that was not the correct thing. But we have continued, actually, in that line of thought of the way we are doing things. I'll just give an example of the creation of Muchinga province. The president has maybe too much power. He just creates a whole province without consulting anyone. He has also redistricted the new districts, or the old districts have been changed. One is Itezitezi, and the other one is Chirundu, given to other provinces. Now, it is in my view that this is what one of the work or the issues which the constitutional review should take up, because we need to make sure that things like that, they may be good things, but they should be vetted by the parliament. Parliament needs to be very, very involved in making such decisions, not just the president, because that is what brings this dissatisfaction by the people. I'm not sure right now whether these were good decisions made in good faith by the president, but it is the parliament which needs to be having more teeth in a democracy. I would like a comment from Mr. Kabanda on this issue.
Thank you, Dr. Musanje.
Thank you.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Kabanda.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Dr. Musanje, thank you very much for the issues that you have raised. Now, ourselves as a committee, as at now, we are not discussing with the public the content of the new constitution. What we are doing now, we are discussing with the public the process. Now, the time we shall begin to discuss and get the debate, the content from the public, is after we have produced the first draft. So I would urge Dr. Musanje and others that make sure that you participate in making comments on the first draft constitution. That would be the appropriate time to bring out issues of content. That would be by way of making comments on the first draft. So for now, we basically have to concentrate on discussing the process and not so much the content. In fact, I would say that after the document is out, we should maybe have an opportunity again, after we see that people have debated and have made comments, we should have an opportunity to have a program on this forum again, so that we can also through that get comments for those others who will have studied the document and would like to share their comments with the others through such a program. So maybe we should think of doing that, but we can discuss this later on. Yeah,
thank you.
Mr. Kabanda, the pertinent question here is that does the technical committee on drafting the constitution have a deliberate plan or program to engage the Zambians in the diaspora?
Yes. In terms of the process of engaging our comrades in the diaspora, once we produce... Okay, before I say that, in fact, let me thank you, our brothers in the diaspora, for the initiative of having this program. You've actually done very, very well, because this gives an opportunity for you, our brothers and sisters in diaspora, to get the information on your participation. So once the first draft is out, what we shall do, we shall post it on our website, and we shall make an announcement. Okay, we shall even use this forum we are using, you know, this blog to do that announcement that the first draft is now out. We are inviting your comments. So we shall also give you an outline of how we shall be receiving those comments. Now I cannot tell you that after it is out, that's when we shall need to do those various guidelines. That's when we shall also come up with the best way to get the comments from you, our brothers and sisters in the diaspora. In fact, there has already been a suggestion, because we are getting suggestions on how we should do that. There has been a suggestion made from one of our comrades in the diaspora that we should ask the embassies, the Zambian embassies, where they exist, the Zambian embassies, to organize for meetings, okay, where our comrades in the diaspora could go and give your comments on the first draft constitution, and then those comments should be now forwarded to the technical committee. So this is one avenue that has been suggested. And if you have other suggestions, you are free to do that. And once you've got these suggestions, then we shall produce the first draft to be able to tell you to say, oh, this is how we are going to receive the comments from our comrades in the diaspora.
Okay, well received. So we will engage you and the committee, Mr. Kabanda. I think that is one of the main reasons we decided to do this, because you will agree with me that what one reads in the media, and when you talk directly to the people concerned, you definitely most of the time get a different story. And let me go on record here to thank Reverend Susan Matala for facilitating for us to do this, and also to help us. And she recommended that we needed to talk to you directly, because when we had her on this forum, she clearly stated that she was not a spokesperson for the committee. Mr. Kabanda, I want us to go back to the citizens forum, because I think it's important. You talked about, let's combine both here, both the Citizens Forum and the Constitution Committee.
Okay.
One wants to get involved. You talked about us writing to request for, I think we need to form citizens forum chapters in the diaspora. I want you to address that again.
Okay. Yes, I made an appeal. From the time the citizens forum was formed to date, we have seen that it is an important movement or organization. We need to have a platform, a formal platform, which the people use to participate in governance. And this is precisely why the citizens forum was formed. So, you know, when we are bringing out issues of concern, usually what happens is people want to know who is speaking, and yeah, what group, things like that. Now, we want to arrive at a situation where we shall have a voice of the citizens forum speaking from different parts of the world. Or citizens forum in Canada says, citizens forum in India says, citizens forum in the US in Pennsylvania is saying this. In that way, there is attention that is paid to the issue. Rather than somebody, for example, just speaking to say, oh, in different parts of the world, in diaspora, and this is what I'm saying. Usually people don't pay attention, okay? Usually even the policymakers, they usually do not pay attention. They even go to the extent of giving it that, this one is not even in Zambia. Why is he or is she saying this? So they don't pay much attention. But if we have citizens forum chapters in different parts of the world where our comrade Zambians are found, then the voice of the citizens forum is going to be strengthened. It is going to be strengthened, and what will be coming from this voice of the citizens forum is going to add a lot of value to the governance of the country. I can tell you that from 2004 to date, the citizens forum has done a lot in terms of in terms of making government do certain things. And we do that in various ways. We dialogue sometimes, we have meetings, sometimes we just mobilize people to carry out action, sometimes we use the media, depending on the issue and how government has taken it. But we use various ways, and we think that it has actually been working. It's because of this voice coming from the people that we were able to block a bad constitution from going through in parliament. So, you know, things like that. So this is why it is important that we have a strong voice of the people. We have people who speak in different parts of the country as citizens forum. We would like to have a situation where we have people speaking as citizens forum also outside the country, raising concerns, participating in governance. Because the citizens forum is a platform for citizens to participate in governance at various levels. So for those of you who are in the diaspora, you are still Zambian, you still have to participate in the governance of the country. And the citizens forum is one such platform that you can use.
Excellent. Two more questions here and we conclude by Kabanda. Let me read a question from our friend Mweti Momba in the UK. He's asking whether you've been able to successfully gauge the success of the Citizen Forum in the past, and what assurance do we have that we are going to have a constitution that will stand the test of time?
Okay, what was the first question? I didn't get it clearly.
The first part is, how have you been able to successfully gauge the success of the Citizen Forum?
Okay. Yes, we have been able to gauge the success of the Citizen Forum One of the things that the Citizens Forum has done, one of the things it has done is that it has contributed to creating a critical mass in the country. A critical mass in the country, people in different parts of the country are able to speak out because of this critical mass that has been created by the Citizens Forum. So this is one achievement, and we think it is a major achievement that we have. And we have arrived at a point where when the Citizens Forum speaks, it attracts attention, not only from the people on whose behalf the Citizens Forum speaks, but also from the policymakers, from the leaders. It attracts attention. They react positively, sometimes they react in a hostile way, but even that shows something, that at least this is a concern coming from the people and it has been brought out. So we've managed to create this critical mass, and we have managed to create a strong voice that government listens to. Different departments of the government, when we write to them over an issue, they take our issues seriously. Even parliament, they take our issues seriously. So there is this, but we are not we are not complete in a way to say we have achieved how we are supposed to be. We need more, and this is why we need various citizens in different parts of the world to be part and parcel and continue to contribute and participate in the governance of the country.
Okay.
And
let me check. Yeah,
what assurance is there that we are going to have a new constitution? The assurance is this, that the history where we are coming from is the history of not concluding the constitution-making processes. Not concluding. From 1990, 1991, 1993, 1996, 2019, 2005, then we have 2010, 2020. All these processes were not being concluded. There was a second ingredient that we are lacking. One of them is that the processes did not have an end date as to when to have the new constitution. It would have an end date as to when they are winding up their business, without having an end date as to when to have the constitution. So the programs were left hanging, the processes were hanging. Okay? So because they were hanging, it was easy for government to manipulate the processes and have it work. And this is what led to not concluding the processes. But in this one, what we are doing now, we are finalizing the constitution-making process. This is what I should have mentioned at the beginning. We are actually finalizing. And the documents we shall produce are the ones that are going to be used in the final stages. We will produce a document that will be used in a referendum. We will produce a document that Parliament will use to enact the Constitution of Zambia Act. So there is finality to this process, and the finality gives us a new constitution. So this is one difference. Another major difference is that today we do have the political will from government to have a new constitution. The past processes, the political will from government was lacking. They were just acting or working under the pressure from the citizens that we need a new constitution, and therefore they put a committee in place or the process starts moving, but without having the political will to have a new constitution. And this lack of political will was exhibited by the fact that there was no end product envisaged in the processes that we are starting. So the political will that we are enjoying now gives us the assurance, and also that the documents we shall produce are the final documents. There is finality to this process we have embarked on.
Mm, Good, good. One more comment or question, Vakabanda, and we conclude. Titus?
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
You have any comment or question?
No, I'm just commending Mr. Kawanda's job, what he's doing. I think he's got a lot of things to be taken care of.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kabanda, we do thank you for taking the time. And one thing I wanted to find out from you, the website for the Citizens Forum and for the technical committee, are those things up and running?
Not yet. We'll, but soon they will be, so we'll let you know.
Excellent.
We'll let you know immediately. We launch. Yes. The Citizen Forum website is a test site now. The materials have already been posted already. The materials have been posted. But it's just waiting to be launched. And once it is launched, we shall let you know. The website for the technical committee of the constitution, we shall let you know also. So that through them, you'll be able to actually participate.
Thank you, sir. Any final word? We thank you for taking the time, Vakabanda.
Just to thank you very much once more for this opportunity, and also the fact that you come up with this initiative of ensuring that ourselves with our comrades in the diaspora, we are able to meet. Like we have met now, we are exchanging our ideas. Companies participating in shaping the destiny of our country. Just to implore all of you who are listening to this program that you are cordially invited to become members of the Citizens Forum. You are cordially invited to become members of the Citizens Forum. You send an email to us, shimoenya@yahoo.com. lowercase, or Forum for Citizens as one name, Forum for Citizens, lowercase@yahoo.com. Send us an email, then we send you the membership application form. You fill in, and then we'll pick it up from there. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kabanda, and you do have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you. And
that was Mr. Simon Kabanda, Executive Secretary for Citizens Forum Zambia, and he's also the spokesperson for Technical Committee on Drafting the Constitution. We'll take a break, and we will come back here on to Business Forum.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I talk to Jenny?
This is Jenny. No, what is it called?
It's called Paradigm Calling Card.
Paradigm?
Yes, Jenny. Paradigm Calling Card. It's an international chip phone card.
Okay. Now how can I get it?
Not a problem, Jenny. Call customer service at 1-877-777-3118 or go online on www.mytalkphone.com or sign up today and get a free $5 Paradigm Calling Card. There are no connection fees, no maintenance fees, no hassle, no hidden fees, Jenny. And a friend referral gets you another $5 calling card.
I better go get this. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Just an international chip calling card for you to call countries like Zambia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Ghana, Senegal, Malawi, and Tanzania, etc., etc., all throughout the world.
That was Mr. Simon Kabanda, and he's the Executive Secretary for Citizens Forum, and we hope to get engaged with him. He has shared quite a lot of information with us. Those of you might be interested in becoming part of what they are doing or what is going on there, please, you are free to contact him. He has given his email. I think every Zambian is able to come up with the letters in the word shimwenya@yahoo.com. So that is Mr. Kabanda. And we will continue. What needs, what we supposed to do here is switch to cities, to business forum. I'm sorry. Patrick, good morning. Not Dr. Patrick. Patrick in New Mexico.
Good morning, Nathan.
How are you? Sorry, I couldn't let you ask a question. We ran out of time.
No, it was just good listening.
Yeah, we will talk here. I want us to just review what we have discussed with Mr. Kabanda, business forum. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, you kept going on and off. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm on mute.
Okay, you are on the road. I can tell that. All right. What we will do here is to sort of. This is Derek. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
How are you? I saw the time you called in and you followed for quite a while.
Yeah, but I've been listening in a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Dr. Munsanja and everybody, we have had a challenge with Business Forum. Number one, Roger just got an emergency, not a medical emergency, but he needed to attend to something. And so, Yareka, good morning.
Good morning, Vanessa.
So he had to go off, and we were having problems getting Chavuma. Patrick, I don't know how much you listened to that discussion. Vakabanda offloaded quite a bit of information.
I got to the tail end of the discussion. But I don't know if in the beginning they discussed the role of one of the changes I would like to see in the Constitution, the dual citizenship part. I think it's very, very important that that aspect of the Constitution, they add that into it. Because I think it will come with a lot of benefit for the country. You could even, the good example is Equatorial Guinea. Their display of football at the Africa Cup of Nations. Most of those players that played for Equatorial Guinea were actually born outside Equatorial Guinea. Our coach even brought that as a point. They said the FIFA must begin to regulate that. But the fact is that those boys had never played for any of the country where they were living. Now you can see that Equatorial Guinea has risen from, I think, 151 in the world to somewhere in the middle there. So I think that's a very big role. The children that are being born in the diaspora and who are still, you know, their parents are Zambian, it would be a great benefit to the country.
Yeah, an interesting point there. Derek, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that also, last week when people talked about Charles, blamed Charles Musonda.
Yes,
I think
Charles
Musonda
too.
If you listen to the interview that Charles Musonda gave when he was interviewed, I think by somebody, that's the point he made, that because of this dual citizenship, his children reached a stage where they had to get passports, but that dual citizenship issue wasn't resolved in Zambia, so he didn't want to take chances. And obviously, for him, it was just right that they get Belgian passports. And so that's what they did. And so that's a very good point, I think, that is being made. And I know people have been blaming Charles Musonda, but if you listen to his interview, he made that point that dual citizenship, I think, made his children to go and get Belgian passports. And then, the Zambian officials never really took interest in that.
That's a very important point that I'm glad we started on that note, because it puts us in that position where we can put our argument across to say, look, this dual citizenship is not like we want to eat with both hands, like the opposition candidate said, who has now become president. Dr. Munsanje, any addition on this? We were all in the frenzy of the Chipolopolo discussion. Now you can see the connection to the dual citizenship thing.
Oh yes, the issue that is being mentioned of that player, Charles Musonda, and his children. Yeah, those are issues which these people who are working on the constitution review, they needed to, you know, to make sure that we all benefit outside the that. And then I would like to come back to my comment, which Mr. Kavanda avoided to give his opinion. Or he said that this is a working committee, but those are things that we Zambians need to be very careful about, how our government is run. We should not allow the president, no matter how good he is, to just make decisions that today he's creating Muchinga province.
Right.
And tomorrow he's taking away Itezitezi and Chirundu from where they are to another province. No. I want to believe that he does those things in good faith. But I still want the whole thing of democracy to come through the parliament. In Zambia, we have a parliamentary system. And if everybody in the parliament says, no, this is a good idea, and with the president says, this is a good idea, then I go for it. So that is just what I would like to comment.
Mm. It's a very valid point, and we shall raise those issues as we go along. Patrick, you are the one who started this. Before I go on to another point, Dr. Musanje raised about the powers of the president. That seems to have been an argument. When you talk about Equatorial Guinea, that's a very important point, which I must confess myself didn't know. I know Kenya has this dual citizenship. I know Ghana has got dual citizenship. What would you say are some other factors that come with that, Patrick?
You could see the performance of Equatorial Guinea. I was extremely impressed. And I was wondering, how is Equatorial Guinea playing like this? They don't deserve to be 151 in the world. And that, when I came to learn about that, then I realized, wow, this is something Zambia should really think about, you know? It should never be... Zambia is bigger than any person living in Zambia right now. And the government and everyone who come in power, we should not make policies based on your political party.
Exactly.
This has to be made based on the interest of our great nation, Zambia, like our national anthem says. My son, David, is already a wonderful golfer, and I mean, he's a good putter. I would want to see him one day play as a Zambian golfer. But if the chances don't allow, then that gives him no other opportunity but to play as an American. So those are some of the things that the government should really consider. And I know how my son loves Zambia. So that's one of the examples. So
it's amazing how these kids who are born here, they get so excited about the origin of their parents, eh?
It is. It is. And... So the government should really begin to consider that. And not only that, you know, everybody here, you know, there's some other important factors that I think dual citizenship would come with. When people, for example, decide to go home, the knowledge that you have acquired, Nathan, here, if it is translated in terms of money, that's a lot of millions of dollars. But
exactly.
When people talk about money in Zambia, they just say, come and invest. All right. You can go with a great idea that is not in Zambia, and that is capital, human capital. It's one of the things that I personally think that we should really consider as we talk about dual citizenship, because what you go with back Nathan in Zambia and everybody listening, if you translate the knowledge that you have acquired, that's a lot of millions of dollars, and the government should see that as a powerful asset. But unfortunately, I don't think it's being viewed in that light.
Interesting. We're moving on here, and what you have said, Patrick, is something that Dr. Patrick keeps telling us, information which you are saying that the knowledge that one has acquired, and it's very important. In February, in the United States, it's dedicated to celebration of Black History Month, and next weekend, next Saturday is the last Saturday of this month, and I'm dedicating this show, the first segment, to that. We'll be talking about Black History Month and trying to review and just assess and look back to where our colleagues and friends have come since they landed on the shores of... Muweti wants to say something about dual citizenship. Muweti.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead, my friend. How's the UK today?
The UK, very nice weather. So you won't be able to get me on the weather today.
Okay, no, Roger, the one who lives in snow, is not here today.
In snow.
For me, it's raining in Texas, so... Yes, you wanted to comment on dual citizenship before we move to the next point.
Yes, personally, for me, the issue of dual citizenship is really, really important, really close to the heart, because, in as much as, when we live in Zambia, we embrace the foreigners that come and settle in Zambia. Yet, us as Zambians, once we leave out of the country, we are relegated to being second-class citizens in our own country. And now I've only got young children, but I dread to think, how will I even go and ask, to get an NRC for any of the children? I don't know. Because I know that, we are viewed with a certain... from a completely different angle, very unwelcomed in certain circles. And I want to think, the way my seven-year-old daughter was jumping up and down when Zambia won, it broke my heart to think if she ever went back home, she would never even be regarded as somebody that can save Zambia in the highest office. So that on its own, I think, really, really, it needs to be sorted out. We are now citizens of the world. It's not just about being citizens of Zambia. We are citizens of the world, which is more important than just belonging to one country.
That's what makes the United... You see why they say the great USA. That's what makes the United States great, people. In the next... Coming up on top of the hour, I'll be talking to Kennedy Mwene, goalkeeper for the Zambia national team. We just want to hear how the guys went through this, where they've come from and where they are now, and what's next for them. And also, after Kennedy Mwene, we'll be talking to Dr. Mayava Chongo. She'll be sharing with us some ministry issues she's doing, upcoming conference in the next few years. And then Anakazi will be discussing, I think it's fashion design. Is it fashion, Yareka?
No, entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship. She'll be talking about entrepreneurship. And I'm glad that Bakabanda talked about gender issues in some of the things that they are doing. Dr. Munsanje, as we continue here, you raised an important, a very critical issue with Bakabanda about... the presidency of Zambia making unilateral decisions, and there's been an uproar from every circle of the community about this issue of redistricting. Chizungu. Dr. Munsanje, I can tell that you have a bone to chew here with what is going on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what would you like to see? For me, I really don't care what they do, as long as there's a democratic process where the parliament says yes. Let us see. Take it as it is to out of Southern Province, and then that should be followed by consultations with the other people
in the Southern Province to see the value of doing that act of redistricting. Otherwise, you get a situation like where we are now, where people are protesting. The chiefs are protesting because they don't know. Somebody has to make room to explain to them how this decision is made. But if it is going through Parliament, the legislature of Zambia, and not just the executive from the president, then everybody will see that this is a decision in good faith and made by Zambians for the Zambian people. We are too much still using Kaunda politics of directions, which having lived in Eastern Europe, I know that was the order of those socialist countries. They always just directed the people to do things.
Yareka, your comment on that?
No, not at the moment. I'm just listening.
Yeah, Yareka doesn't want to be political, I know. Dr. Chongo, good morning.
Good morning.
You've heard what Dr. Munsanja said, and you heard my question, the issue of redistricting and how it relates to the constitutional process.
I really don't know the constitution on that, but I would imagine that it has one article that talks about land. One part of it talks about traditional land, which belongs to our traditional leaders, and part of it it's about the president has powers over land. But as regards redistricting or whatever term they are using, I think I do agree with Dr. Msenji on following the constitution, and especially something that involves people. It's not just land. If it was just land that Brother Nkama has applied for land and the president has just given him to honor him, he doesn't need to consult many people because it's just the land and the person being given. But when it involves people to be affiliated to another place, that becomes something different. So the constitution should be followed and consultations should be made so that people are aware of why things are being done. Because like right now, they are saying this is to look at the administrative center. The example of Itejiteji, the administrative center for Southern Province is now Choma, which is 200 kilometers from Itejiteji. And now Itejiteji, on paper, will be administered from Kabwe, which is more than 200 kilometers.
Yes, somebody told me 600. Is that correct, Mwedi?
Yes, it is, yeah.
600 kilometers Itejiteji to Kabwe. Well, it can be checked out. The internet has all the answers.
So that's the whole position. So what explanation do you give to people there? So it's not administrative. So the administrative aspect is removed. So there must be another reason that people must be told so that they are aware of.
That same reason, there must be another reason. That same reason, Vamwata, is what I want you to address. Is there another reason?
I don't know.
No, because, Ramwata, I know you're trying to be, he's just trying to mess me up here. Ramwata, I know if I ask Isaac to call in right now and make his comments, he's going to explain to, why are you switching Solwezi to the copper belt? Even
I'm not switching anything. I'm not even in government. But the explanation that I heard was what Dr. Chong has just kind of debunked. That's all I heard, and I was thinking that the business administration was.
was actually the reason behind the redistricting. But I didn't know that there were other reasons why that was important. Now, if indeed business was the reason, I was going to, you know, to support it wholeheartedly, because what we want is to recognize first and foremost that, you know, Zambia has pockets of settlements, and they are not interconnected with a nice road network. So then, you know, for business effectiveness and efficiency and communication purposes, then we needed to associate those locations with the nearby business centers. But if the business centers the concept of business centers is being negated by the distances, then, you know, it leaves the mind to wonder whether there is another reason behind it that is not being shared.
You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. You can join the conversation on Twitter, Zambia Block Radio, or Facebook, Zambia Block Talk Radio. You can simply call in 347-237-4270. My niece is listening, and she's saying I'm a very tough interviewer. Samata, I like what you have said, okay? Not because I agree with it or that's what I want to hear. The argument there is that, like you have rightly said, what was being put across Patrick, by Elizabeth Yareka, Dr. Patrick, is that for administrative purposes, okay? But if you are moving a town which is 200 kilometers, Isaac, do the math for me there, what that is in miles. 200 kilometers from Choma, then you move it to Kabwe for 600 kilometers. Like they say in this country, there is no rocket science there. It's just, you know, you've got other intentions. Just be honest and tell us what your intentions are. But Derek?
I don't know, Nathan. You know how I feel about Mr. Sutter. So to me, that really doesn't make any sense economically or otherwise, because if Mr. Sata really wanted to improve the welfare of the people of Eastern Stage, what he should do is build better roads so that businesses have easy access to Eastern Stage, and the people of Eastern Stage can easily have easy access to Monze or Kawe, whatever the business center is. I suppose the main economic activity in Eastern Stage is fishing or something like that. So Mr. Sata needs to look at that and improve the road infrastructure and try to start moving things. You know, he needs to start doing better things than involving himself in local issues. I think that's an issue for the local authorities to take care of, other than the president. The president should be looking at better things.
One of the things that has been talked about in Zambian politics, Dr. Chongo, I know that we have two Dr. Chongos now who have called in. One of the things that has been talked about in Zambian politics for years is the decentralization thing, empowering of the districts. How long is that going to be lip service, Dr. Chongo?
We're just talking about it, but we don't mean it. I think it's being talked about as a political rightness. So that's what people want to hear. We are not really trying to decentralize as it was intended earlier on. Decentralization is about administration. And so it's very easy to start giving away powers to the provinces, then the provinces to the districts, and like that. But we're not doing that. You know, there is a fear with our leadership, I guess, that if power was given to the provinces, Lusaka would have no power. You know, so you may say it on paper, but in practice, you don't do that. And concerning the district, one other thing I was thinking about, the point of administrative convenience must be written out.
Uh-huh.
It is not a reason for redistricting. because Solwezi right now is one of the booming towns in Zambia. One. Secondly, Solwezi is the center of administration for Northwestern. It
yes.
would not make any sense for anyone to say, let's remove Solwezi, which is booming, and it's the center of administration, and put it somewhere else. So the administration should be ruled out. There's just some other reasons. On the other hand, again, for Chirundu and the Itejiteji, recently Chirundu has been, if we'll just look at it, it's one of the places that collects money. You know, it has the border post. So it's an economic hub for the province if there was decentralization. And the Itejiteji has just been developed in producing electricity. And so if you remove it, again, that's another hub, of economic hub, that is being removed from the province. So the administrative reason is out of question.
I want to hear one of the ladies say something. Dr. Mayava, good morning.
Good morning.
You're following the discussion.
I have just come on the program, so I have not really followed it.
Okay, no. Well, I'll engage you on something else. I have somebody calling on 214. Good morning. Area code 214-0488. Come on, Dara, talk to me. Good morning.
Good morning, thank you. Sorry, I'm not calling for a comment or question. I'm just listening.
Oh, you are just listening. Your name, sir?
Brown Chofer.
Oh, Brown. Thank you, Brown. I always get excited when I see somebody in my area calling, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you, Brown, for calling in. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. You can follow our discussion on Twitter, Zambia Block Radio, on Facebook. And we appreciate, this is supposed to be business forum. We apologize that our host of the show had to attend to something, a family situation, and we were also having technical problems getting through to Chavuma. Because we are trying to reach out to Chavuma, we're trying to reach out to the district so that we sort of enhance and bring the attention, awareness, realization that our districts have got a lot to offer, and there is a lot of work to be done in those districts, and they present a lot of investment potential which needs to be tapped in, and we need to go there. And it's our responsibility as Zambians, whichever part of the world you are living, to bring awareness to these things. Patrick, let me leave the issue of redistricting and talk about, I don't know how much of our discussion you listened to with Mr. Kabanda, Citizens Forum. One of the issues Vamwata he raised is something which I think this is very interesting. He's talking about what they call social contracts. Social contracts for our political members of parliament, where they sign a contract to say during the campaign, whatever things they are saying, if they don't meet up to those expectations, they will have the ethical and moral boldness and courage to say, I didn't fulfill my whatever, so I am stepping down. How do you look at that, Patrick?
It's not practical, so... I don't look at it as, not, you know, the way it's been explained, it's not practical. I think what we need to do, one way we can govern Zambia, first, I think we should first begin to understand that no one is bigger than Zambia. No tribe is bigger than Zambia. When we begin to understand that, it will help us govern our country very well, that decisions that are being made should last a long time, you know. You know, I just wanted to, I know, Nathan, you don't want us to talk about redistricting, but redistricting is something that happens all the time here in the United States. Right now in New Mexico, they're redistricting. And there's a lot of other factors. The Hispanics are complaining that these districts, redistricting of the towns would cause this and that. And so I think one of the things we should ask ourselves in Zambia is how does
the, like for example, Itaishteji, how does the fisherman's catch in a day affect the salary of a doctor in Lusaka? Because all these things are interconnected, interrelated. And I think I like one person who contributed and said, you know, when if you want to improve, for example, Itaishteji, whether economically or business-wise, you know, when you think of the distance of Itaishteji and Kabwe, it just makes sense that Itaishteji remains in Southern Province because it's near Choma there. So, and if we want to improve Itaishteji, then the best thing to do is how can we make Itaishteji accessible? So that's one of my thinking, and I think we should really consider that. Look at Kenya, what Kenya is doing. Kenya now, they've got counties. I was laughing with a friend of mine. He says, all right, we'll see how Kenya is going to work. In the computer world, Nathan, we always say, do not reinvent the wheel. If you want something, whatever you want to do, Google it. Someone somewhere has done it. So find out who have done what and how they overcame that problem, and then begin to sort your own problem. So I think what we need to do is look at these democracies that have worked in the world. Look at the American, look at the British system, look at the German system, look at all these other places and say, all right, this is what these guys have done. Can we find a system that would best work for us and within our cultural orientation and see this thing move forward? I think I agree with Dr. Munsanje. There is a process in Zambia which, you know, we need to follow laid down procedures and, you know, follow protocol. And it will take time, but, you know, we should start learning to follow those laid down procedures and say, this is what the process will go here, then it will go here, then it will go there. If you just become and, you know, you stand up and then, you know, you just make proclamations as maybe head of a state, you are actually maybe defeating the same thing that you are putting in place. You're saying, you know, I can make a decision, you know, maybe without parliament's consent. And if that culture is put in place, it will keep on going. So I think change has to start from somewhere. And I think this is a great opportunity maybe that our current government has to begin to show how our nation can be governed. On that aspect, the last part that you asked, Nathan, I don't see it to be practical. So that's my...
No, you don't think the the social contract will be practical?
No.
You don't? Okay. Let me hear from somebody. Oh, by the way, my mathematician here has given me the figure. 600 kilometers is 373 miles, and 200 kilometers is 124 miles. We have Dallas in the house. Area code 972, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nkama. How are you, sir?
Is this Mr. Banda?
Naturally, yes, it is. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Now you are telling the whole world how young I'm getting.
No, they're also young. Very young.
Yeah. You see, birthday things are for kids. That's my philosophy. But you see, what I'm trying to... Bamwata, you heard my question to Patrick about the social contract thing. Yeah, what do you think? That was something that Mr. Kabanda shared with us, the Citizens Forum is trying to do, to create this accountability on part of our political leaders, especially elected leaders, that when they campaign, they do not fulfill their campaign promises, they should have the morality to say, I haven't performed, I don't deserve to be here.
Well, it's like asking a wolf to be in charge of the chickens. You know, can you be honest that when we come back, the chickens are going to be the number that we leave them in? Morality and the politics usually don't reside in the same province. What I'm trying to say here is the honesty of people to look in, you know, to analyze themselves and say I failed, and admittedly, you know, take action, you know, consistent with that statement or with that thought. It's going to be, you know, hard to do. What I would suggest to be included in the Constitution is the power of the people to ask somebody back. Like in the United States, they call it calling them back or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Wisconsin is making waves in the country right now because the governor is being called back, possibly, I don't know how long that's going to take, but possibly in November or something. There's going to be an election to recall him. So if we could have that enshrined in our constitution, such that, you know, the citizens can mobilize themselves to recall an elected official, I think that will give them the power to monitor the activities of these individuals, because then they would refer back to the planks of their campaign and look at what they promised and whether they're living up to that. But as it is, you know, depending on the politicians themselves to honor up and say, well, I failed and so I'm stepping down, that ain't gonna happen.
This is where I turn to Dr. Patrick. Dr. Patrick, how does the recall thing work in the United States?
Well, it works by initially signing of petitions. It's usually 3/4 of the particular state residents
uh-huh.
have to sign this petition, and then and then what would happen is a committee, specially selected committee, will have to go over each signed petition, to see that they're authentic and they validate them. And once they have the required number, then the next step would be to start the process of recalling a governor or a mayor. In this particular case, the next step would be a political campaign, whereas the individual, they would have to identify an individual to run against the existing governor.
Uh-huh.
And once you have that, then you'll have an actual campaign as if it started all over again. So it's a long process, and some states have this rule in place, and other states do not. But that's the way it goes, and recalls are good. Recalls are good. Is just that
how
you mobilize a large number of people to begin this process. You can't have half of the population of the state or less than half the population. You have to have an overwhelming number of individuals signing that petition.
Interesting. How does it work in states who don't have that rule of recall?
They don't. Their only recall they have is the next voting election cycle, and hopefully they will remember what happened, and they will vote the person out.
Which sounds like the situation we have in Zambia right now. Well, interesting. So this is a almost like an exercise which is tedious. People need to have the will and the heart to do it. It takes a lot of volunteers. And it brings me to the issue of by-elections. I don't know who wants to take a shot at this one. I am
If we have time, could I comment on dual citizenship?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Mm-hmm. We have about 10 minutes, and we'll be going to South Africa, I believe. We'll be talking to Kennedy Mwene. Is that right, Mr. Natala?
Yes, I'm having a technical, but we'll see. I'll check.
Okay. All right. We hope we can get Kennedy Mwene here and make Stephen, my brother, happy here. Go ahead, Dr. Patrick.
Okay. I'll be as quick as possible for the listening audience. Who had a comment, one of our call-ins had a comment about their child feeling somewhat, well, the child was excited about the Zambian soccer team's win.
Yes.
But the second thought is not being able to see the child travel to Zambia and have full citizenship right. My comment is tell your child, everyone, tell your child that they are Zambians, and you do not need a piece of paper to say that they are. That's very important. They are Zambians. Now, with respect to dual citizenship, I address dual citizenship in three parables, and I want everyone to think about these three parables. The first parable has to do with total commitment and partial commitment. Mm-hmm. As you know, if you're going to capture and slaughter a pig, the pig's sacrifice is total commitment. If you go at a cow, the cow's commitment is partial because you're only getting the milk. Another thing to think about is what a lot of the politicians in country think about, and this is not necessarily Zambia. This is all countries that do not have dual citizenships. The thought that they come to their mind is, these individuals want to have their cake and eat it. And that goes directly into the third parable. And the third parable has to do with Caucasians and blacks. A Caucasian can walk, talk, and act like a black, but when he or she wishes, they can quickly convert into their own communities. Whereas in a black, they can walk, talk, and act black, but they will always be black. When you see someone, they are black. So you can't do that. It's very difficult when you're acting or being like someone else, and in fact, you are what you are. Dual citizenships allow an individual to walk and talk and act, and I put quotes under that, walk and talk and act like a Zambian. But when you think of it, and the opposition that's coming up is the country do not want make-believe Zambians. They want Zambians who have that identity in country. And this is what it makes it very difficult. Now, the listening audience, they are Zambians. But the rub is they're Zambians that haven't been living in Zambia. They weren't born in Zambia. They don't feel like Zambian. I don't know. But that's what has to be worked on. And what has to be worked on is the family, the heritage that they are Zambians, and this has to be worked on both sides. Mm. That you, once you're a Zambian, you are a Zambian. And as opposed to driving quickly for dual citizenship paper, one should drive quickly to that paradigm shift at saying, I'm a Zambian. I could be born in anywhere, but I am Zambian. In order to have this mindset changed, you want to have a seat at the political table. And in order to be at the political table, you have to bring something to put on the table. So Eureka will be talking about entrepreneurships. And yeah, entrepreneurships is something that you can bring to the table. You have to bring something to the table. And once you have it at the table, economic empowerment at the table, then you will have a voice. Then you can talk about dual citizenships. Then you can talk about social contracts. And then you can talk about democratic systems on how to do it. And rest be assured, the democratic system that's in Zambia now is very, very, very good. And a lot of people are looking at Zambia to copy what Zambia has been doing
to be in the position that they're in at this day. So my suggestion on dual citizenship, in order to become or get dual citizenship, you have to be at the table, the political table. And in order to be at the political table, you need economic empowerment.
There you go. Powerful. In 5 minutes' time, we'll be switching over here. We'll be talking to Kennedy Mwene and Dr. Mayava Chongo. Everybody, when we drop, you'll have to call back in. But I want Stephen Banda to respond to what Dr. Patrick has said. Stephen? Stephen? I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. Brown, you are still listening, or you'd like to comment on that?
No, Pastor, I'm still listening.
Okay. We will conclude this, and let me do this. Does anybody want to respond to what Dr. Patrick has said? Amwata, Dr. Chongo?
I'll make a quick comment.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Patrick has made a profound statement when he said wherever you're born, you need to the children especially, they need to realize that they're Zambians, and you don't need to really have a piece of paper to tell you that you're Zambian, okay? But the same token, you can also denounce your being Zambian if you want. I know several Zambian friends who have told me they don't want to have anything to do with Zambia anymore. They were so ashamed to be Zambian. Those that want to be Zambian, and they're convinced that they're Zambian, they shouldn't be stopped from being Zambian. Nobody should tell them that you're not Zambian, because they are Zambians. So, let that be understood clearly by the politicians that their responsibility is not to stop Zambians from being Zambian.
Thank you. Dr. Munsanjo, you want to conclude this?
Yes, I was just listening to Dr. Patrick, and he stated, I think, three major things. He talked about commitment. He talked about that you should walk and talk like a Zambian. And he gave an example of a Caucasian and a black person, where a Caucasian can act black, but a black person cannot act white. Yeah, so I followed that and kind of got his thought that maybe this is what we need when we are discussing issues of dual citizenship. Yeah, we must make sure that we are committed to dual citizenship, and we need to convince the people in power back in Zambia to see the benefits of dual citizenship.
And that we are committed, Dr. Munsanje, not just to convince them, but we need to show them we are committed.
Yes, by doing things like what we do every Saturday here, you and me and others, that is a way of commitment. And there are other things that are happening that we show that we are committed.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Please, let's go back in momentarily. We'll be crossing to South Africa to speak to Kennedy Mwene, Zambian Osage Soccer Team goalkeeper, and then we'll talk to Dr. Mayava Chongo as well. Next week, join us again. Aweta wimone finto fiale shupa Amafyanga yaisa Ninkonto Yesu Lubo to Yesu.